worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
Krusty Krab is unfair. Mr. Krabs is in there, standing at the concession, plotting his oppression.
Kyle Mack.
I'm sick and tired of hearing about this damn election.
Mickey.
I'm gonna try, but it's not gonna happen.
And Lazy E.
Listen, you're not gonna learn unless I beat you with a stick of shame.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
We will give you something to protest about. Yeah, that's right. It's a freak accident. What are you blinking at?
We're a freaky accident?
What'd you turn into Mickey?
Did I sound like that?
We're a freaky accident.
You know, sometimes I swear in my head everything sounds fine, but I know on the other end of my mouth it does not. Not even close.
Maybe it's my ears, but you sounded like you came out of Boston, straight out of Boston.
That's this show pretty much in a nutshell. Welcome. Glad you're here. Thank you for downloading and listening. Our website is afreakaccident.com. If you want to email us about something, anything, freaks@afreakaccident.com. You can send us something you want us to talk about. You can tell us how great we are. You can insult me for my idiot mouth. That would be fine, too. And if you leave your mailing address, we'll send you a free sticker for reaching out to us, just because we want you to know that we love you.
Everything came out fine, though. We're good.
Good. All right, good. And don't forget, when you're at afreakaccident.com, click connect on the menu bar. You can find us all over social media. I, of course, am joined by the winning team of Lazy E.
I win.
Kyle Mack.
Not my host.
And, oh.
Oh, ouch. Oh. Ouch.
Well, I'm his host, so you're just going to have to deal with it. And Mickey's
popular
here,
fun.
Too.
Apparently, just E is the winning team.
Again, just wow. Like last week, when I say the winning team of Lazy E, should I specify Mickey for you, comma, Kyle Mack, comma, and Mickey? Should I do that from now on, just so
yes.
You're not confused?
Yes.
Because apparently it's really easy to completely flummox you.
You're a flummox.
Where have you been for the last year and... How long?
La La Land.
Okay.
See, I'm back down. I'm on the streets now, though. I've been out in the world for the last week, and I'm real.
You got hard hands
yeah.
now. You got
yeah,
city
yeah,
hands.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I went back to the streets. I've been raised on hard knocks now.
So, like, getting, like, the dollar menu instead of the extra value?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, ooh.
It's, yeah, that, you want to talk about hard times.
Went to right. Arby's instead.
Yeah.
Ugh.
No, unless, no. Are you kidding me?
Wait, unless Arby's wants to sponsor us, then Arby's.
If Arby's sponsors us, I will definitely, every time we have to, like, do a live read for them, when we do one of our endorsements, I will definitely read tweets from the nihilist Arby's Twitter account, which are definitely worth reading.
No.
If you haven't checked that out yet.
I have not.
It'll make you feel better about your own life.
Oh, boy.
Who was that Twitter account? What company was it that they always sent out? Oh, it was a frozen pizza place.
DiGiorno.
DiGiorno used to go rogue on their Twitter.
Yeah, they were crazy. And then the guy said something.
It was really bad.
Yeah, he hijacked a hashtag. I forget what it was for.
It said, why I left.
Oh, right. it was a hashtag having to do with, spousal abuse. Like, battered women, why they left, or no, why I stayed.
Why I stayed,
It was like, you know, the whole thing is like, when they're in abusive relationships, the hashtag was like a cathartic exercise, I guess. Like, you know, this is why I stuck around in my abusive relationship. And DiGiorno, which I'm assuming does what, admittedly, we do with our Twitter from time to time.
Fun hashtags.
You jump on the trend section, you see what the trending hashtags are, and you crack a joke. So, like, DiGiorno saw why I stayed, and they just said, because there was pizza. And then, like, there was this weird, poor DiGiorno, like, that guy must have got fired, whoever he was, because
absolutely.
The Twitter now, I mean, it's still amusing, but it's much more reserved.
Yeah.
Like, it's much more low-key. Now, but it was weird. Like that Twitter account had this weird penance that they did, where every single person who tweeted at them with a complaint, they responded and apologized to every last one. You're talking on the magnitude of hundreds of thousands of tweets.
That's the only tweet I've ever seen that I actually audibly heard a.
I was like, oh my God.
Ooh, wow.
There was that minute before someone responded where you just actually heard it. Yeah. And you're like, oh no.
Yeah, you definitely missed that opportunity.
That was bad.
Blew that one. Mm. Blew it right out.
Yeah. But we won't be doing that.
No. We don't do that. So if you wanted to follow us on Twitter, I mean, I'm sure we'll say something that'll tick you off at some point or another. But, you know, we're not going to. Let me put it this way. We read through the hashtag before we just tweet out in the hashtag.
Yeah, it's not like a remembrance one. And we're like, remember our episode where we did this?
Yeah.
No!
Yeah. Yeah, remember Kyle? It's some kid who died of cancer or something like that. And we just remember Kyle. Download our new episode.
So, remember, you know, Kyle's first episode? Here it is.
We wouldn't do something like that. We are responsible. Yeah, we're at least aware. We're aware of things.
Maybe you are.
True. Yeah, I know. I speak for the room when I say stuff like that, and I remember she's sitting over there.
Yeah.
That's a different beast.
I'm still back on DiGiorno. You think if I tweet them with that hashtag, they'll send me a free pizza? They do that?
No, they wouldn't do it because they don't deliver. It's DiGiorno.
Oh, my God.
That's a free plug. Last one.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Send us a check.
I've never heard that in regular conversation before, and it worked. Wow. It made me so happy.
All this and more could be yours, DiGiorno. Like I said, just mail us that check, and we'll be fine.
You broke it.
Yeah, now that Lazy E is ruined for the rest of the episode, you want to know what we're going to talk about today?
Sure.
DiGiorno.
Already done that, actually. We've got Facebook and Google cracking down on fake news. That's been a big problem this election, apparently.
Yeah, 2 months too late.
Kyle Mack is the expert on all things political, so we will be talking to him with regard to this. He's just shaking his head solemnly yeah. over there. Like, you can't see it, but he's just like, God, no.
So much misinformation out there because of this.
Yeah,
so much.
We've got a history of people getting fired for social media stupidity.
Oh, I got suspended one time for social media stupidity.
Oh, yeah. So, story incoming. We've got five supposedly healthy things that are actually not healthy at all. In fact, they might be killing you.
Oh, great.
We were at the 900th episode of SmackDown Live. We will recap our experience. We will also be talking to our pal, the doc, Chad Matthews, from LordsOfPain.net and WrestlingHeadlines.com, since Survivor Series is this weekend. And they've actually made Survivor Series good.
Interesting at the
yeah,
least.
Yeah, they haven't done that for years. So we'll be getting his opinion on that. And of course, we got football to talk about as well. It's all on this.
What?
I literally, it was like I hit a pothole in my mind and the wheel came off. All that and more on the way in this episode of A Freak Accident.
Yes!
Check out our podcast archive, where you can hear every episode we've ever recorded, including all the old ones. Or if you're an Alzheimer's patient, all the new ones.
You remember, right?
Yes.
Podcast.afreakaccident.com.
I see you clowning in your pig when you said you were sick. I might unfriend you. I made my status but a bye.
Social media is a wonderful thing. I mean, okay, let me put it this way. Social media was intended to be a wonderful thing.
And then marriages got ruined, then friendships ended, and it's been terrible.
Thanks to Allison Ashley Arm for that Facebook song.
She's related to Kate Leg.
Right. All the body parts there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's social media. I mean, it's cool the fact that, you know, it opens up all these avenues of communication. It gives you the opportunity to keep in touch with people literally 24/7. The problem is you can keep in touch with people 24/7, and everybody insists on you knowing what they're doing 24/7 and what they're thinking 24/7. That's the problem. The beautiful thing about it is
point at me.
Social media gives everybody a voice. The problem is they think people want to hear it.
I think the problem is there's no filter between, like, the brain and the keyboard.
Yeah.
So they just do that. But when you talk normally, like, something happens in your head. You're like, if I say this out loud, I might get punched in the face. So you think about it.
Well, it's because you don't actually have to see the reaction. Seeing it in text, you're just like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Would you believe I actually told a guy that I would eat him in a conversation? And I think that was yesterday. I said, you know, if you want, I said, unfriend me if you want, or unfollow me, or just whatever. But I said, any more insults, I will eat you.
Would you ever say that to a person in person?
I will. Could you imagine me saying that to somebody in person?
I would love it.
I will eat you.
We'd probably believe it.
Well, you know, last week on the show, we're sitting here, you know, he's saying, like, you know, I hear once you eat people, you don't go back.
Oh, that's
I mean,
true.
That was said on the show last week by Kyle.
Well,
so
cannibalism.
It's on his head. It's on his mind.
He got a taste. Who'd you eat?
You never go back.
So social media, you know, for all of its pitfalls, I mean, it's still cool, I guess. But you know what? Definitely in this election, it definitely was not cool at all. It was not social media was not fun this entire election because of people yelling at each other, screaming at each other, the memes, and then most importantly, maybe the top news story that people are talking about right now is the fake news.
Yeah, from
the,
like,
false information.
Yeah, USA.political.com.
Yeah, CNN.ABC.CBS.Univision.
At Hotmail.
Dot church.
Yeah. You mean everything this podcast thrives on?
What?
Oh, the fake news?
Yeah.
No, we research everything.
Yeah, no.
Everything that comes out.
No, we talk about stupid news, but it's all 100% real. Definitely.
I like how you can say that with a straight face.
You know what? Factcheck.org, come at me, all right? You prove something wrong, and I'll eat crow.
All right, we're going to get some free advertisement from factcheck.com, all right.
.org, get it right.
Oh, sorry, .com's my favorite.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, the fake news thing. I mean, Kyle, you're the political expert. Yeah. Is this really the Do you think this was a determining factor in this election?
I think it was a big part of it, yeah. I mean, you had people, every time I would go on Facebook, my biggest thing with people, besides what I would post, is, did you even read what you posted?
Right.
Because people just see an article, they post it real quick. There was just one that they put out, it said, loophole means Bernie Sanders could be president.
The Huffington Post did that,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yep, and then people were reposting it, but if you read the article, it says, like, ha ha ha, we got you, you don't read the article.
Yeah.
And I saw that so many places, and you just pick the people who, through this entire election, we're posting things like, you know, Hillary did this and she's a snake and, you know, she's got all this money tied in with, like, the Saudis over here, but they were buying camels and stuffing them with cash and sending them to Iran. This is the stuff that comes out. And you have to read that. And you're just like, wait, any logical person, you're thinking, did you research this?
But these are the reasons. This is the reason why John Denver has died 5 times in the last 6 years.
It's true.
Yeah. They see a story and they're like, oh, that's great. Can you believe that person died? Oh, my God. Got to share it. He's been dead for 10 years.
And the problem is when you click on one of these stories, I clicked on it's liberalnews.com. It just came up and I was like, wow, this is kind of interesting. Let me look at it. And every news story I get now on Facebook is from them. So Facebook, it's like an algorithm where they try to figure out what you like and they try to give that to you. But the danger is you're only getting what you like.
So now you're only getting fake news.
Exactly. So I'm just getting fake news and it's all just my little liberal bubble.
I've learned something here. Kyle has now become completely unreliable with regard to the information that he throws around.
Right. Everything I'm saying. But I mean, you can tell, just a quick tip, you can tell if you're on one of these sites because they're opinions. You know, if you're reading a news article and the word stupid is in there or any adjective like that that's not like describing a color or something, it's probably fake.
I've always thought, like, and this is my position on the whole thing, is like, number one, yeah, this people talk about, oh, how do we stop this? Like, now Facebook and Google are coming out. Like, they're going to crack down on fake news on their sites and things like that. My thing is this. If people would just read it, you'd know. And then on top of that, like, you should, even if you're reading something in one article, you should kind of verify it with multiple sources before you go and espouse it as being carbon law. You should double check and make sure that, okay, this has been reported on by multiple outlets. This is real. Not just, this is something that somebody literally just wrote as a joke and now everybody's sharing it on social media because it fits their narrative.
Well, I want to see how they actually do this. How they actually vet out all these fake news sites when people are sharing them. How that works, I'm not sure. But does that destroy the Onion now? Because technically, I mean, they're blatantly telling you it's fake.
Yeah.
But if they're going to say one, they have to take out the other.
I can't believe how many times I've noticed, though, people reacting to when somebody shares a link from The Onion, people reacting to it in the comments.
Thinking it's real.
Thinking it's real. Yeah, it's like, guys, if you even look, you just need to read just below the headline where it says TheOnion.com to know that it's fake. And you didn't even bother to read that far. You just, it's, everything is just so reactionary anymore that it's like nobody bothers to actually sit down and think through things.
Well, that, and even if you didn't know The Onion was a satire site, what reputable place do you know that's called The Onion?
Well, it's a cooking website, right? You're like, why is a cooking website talking about the election? I think I'll check it out. I don't know. I don't think it's on Facebook or Google, honestly, to even vet these. I don't. I think it's
up to the people
to
people. Read.
Yeah, we have to be, you know, I saw a hashtag and I just keep stealing it, Make America Smart Again. I mean, you could take the title of whatever you're reading, throw it in Google, take it 1 second, and just look at it for a credible website. And that's all you have to do. I mean, you could, your BBC, your CNN, these guys, these are, well, until this election, they were very credible sites, but just keep looking around.
I think the problem is a lot of people went on that whole binge with be informed instead of be educated.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and also you've got resources like factcheck.org. You've got Snopes where you can go and look. Like, they literally, these places exist entirely to vet and double check on big stories to make sure that they're real. Do a little bit of background checking before you just assume something's real. And that's another thing. Like, it's, granted, it's not necessarily fake news, but, you know, all of the people who share all these memes and things like that, like the political memes and, like, the little, like, the infographics and stuff like that. It's like, none of you are bothering to check if this information is actually legitimate. We have no idea if this is coming from a good place, but you saw it, you liked what it said, and so you're going to share it, assuming it's real. It's like when, like, if you just do a little bit of research, you would know that this isn't true.
So is Joe Biden that mad? Because I've seen a lot, and he's not happy talking to Obama.
He's
right
a prankster.
Now.
Yeah,
I know.
He's quite the joke maker.
And he talks about knuckle sandwiches.
Well, yeah. He did say to Trump, if they want to go behind the with the barn or something, he said, or the high school, they could fight, duke it out. So
I'm going to tell you this. One or two are kind of funny. They're on a whole, they're dumb. They're not funny.
Oh, I see. I've been laughing at every single last one of those.
They're stupid.
I liked the cat as the bathroom door handle.
Oh, yeah. So every time he goes in, he has to grab the... Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
Right. Yeah.
But the problem is we're at a point right now where, like, people argue with me about factcheck.org. They think it's a conspiracy. They think that these things... Yeah. So
awesome.
They think that the real news now is the fake news because they're so used to reading what they want, and everything that comes up on their feed is what they're used to hearing from, you know, like a faux news place or these things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's all just there, and you can't even... Like, I got told today that I had an agenda, and I was...
Because you don't listen to Alex Jones,
yeah, and I'm what's wrong with this republic. And I'm thinking, what is it? People like you are what's wrong with this republic, and I'm spreading lies.
I've read some of the comments that were posted to you, and I have to laugh.
Right, and I'm just like, and I'm sitting there like, dear God, I don't even know what to say to you right now, and I'm just through teaching people.
Have you even read InfoWars, man? You don't know!
Well, then why don't we make a fake website and post the true stuff on there and start sharing that? We'll call it something like, the real news. Realnewsorg.com.
Trick them into believing what is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lucky for us, some college students from Princeton think they've actually found a way to solve the problem.
Excelsior!
You figured, you know, they said that
you know
as
they
soon
did.
As they found
Excelsior!
It.
Yeah, no, apparently they've developed an app. It's basically like a Chrome extension, basically. Like, it's basically a browser extension that you can attach to your browser, and it will go through all of these articles that you share or that you read, and it will eliminate the ones that are fake by looking for key terms and things like that.
That's great.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It took them a couple days to do that.
So...
Google, Facebook, come on, get on the ball here.
People can't do that on their own.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I mean, that's the easiest solution. People, read. That's it. All you have to do is read. But if you're that lazy and you don't want to read, you'll be able to download the Chrome extension that these guys have made, and it'll just automatically filter that stuff out for you.
I mean, the upside is if people are this stupid, that means I have a job for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot of people are just used to, like older people anyway, getting news. Like, you look at a newspaper, you don't have to doubt that. You know this is real. So you go online, you're digging around. Oh, I found a website. Here's an article. Must be real. They took the time to write it. And then they want to be first.
Those are the older people, though.
And those are the people voting.
Whoa, commercial flights are dropping chemicals on us. This is crazy.
Exactly.
I feel like most of the older people still just read the newspaper, because I know my grandparents are not fishing around online trying to find stuff. They're lucky if they can get through Facebook for an hour in the day.
Or maybe they're catfishing people.
Oh, God.
Maybe they're the ones writing the fake news.
Oh, my God!
These young whippersnappers don't know a damn thing. I'll show them what for.
Oh, they're the problem. Text them right now.
Email. She can't text.
Email them. And you email us, freaks@freakaccident.com.
That's it. Literally, people, the moral of this story is just read.
Or if you really want to see these stories, fact check with Twitter.
Read.
Twitter.
Just read.
Twitter.
Read. Yeah, don't trust anybody. Don't even trust me. Seriously. Just go on and Google this stuff.
So now they can't trust what I'm telling them.
Everybody's got an agenda. I'm just saying, just Google everything that Crisco's saying, too. You'll see it's true, and then you'll like them more. I mean, there you go.
Hashtag be educated.
Hashtag make America smart again.
Hashtag.
I stayed.
Burn it all. Burn it down. I'm done.
The early burn catches the worm. But the early worm gets ruthlessly devoured by a gigantic superior predator. Maybe we'll just sleep in today. This is a freak accident.
Facebook, Google Plus, Q's on to Chinese must. Sina Weibo form spring, Habo is a teen thing. LinkedIn's a business gauge, Ren's an Asian rage. Instagram for photo shares, Bebo's with the questionnaire.
Is this episode centered around social media?
Or are you trying to make it seem that way, InfoWars?
Okay, yeah, no. Yeah, I'm definitely, this is all a conspiracy on my part.
It is.
Yeah, that was Adam Drummond. Social media is here to stay. Now, the last segment we talked about how social media can be harmful for you because there's a lot of fake crap on there and none of you know how to research anything properly. The other way that it could ruin your life is because your employer might see the crap, the stupid crap that you post on social media, and they may decide that they don't want to hire you.
Not saying any names, but I know somebody who has done that.
Yeah. Or
we both do.
Yeah, no. I mean, they either don't want to hire you or they want to fire you if you are hired.
Or you get suspended.
You and I are thinking of the same person, aren't we? Certainly.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
So,
or like Kyle, they get suspended.
Right. Now, what happened? What did you do that you got suspended?
I was working this telemarketing job, and I worked there for years, and like we had this schedule thing where I'd go to school and come back, and they decided one day they didn't like me anymore, so they wanted to get rid of me. So I went and they redid my schedule, and I couldn't do it, so I had to leave the job. So I go home at my apartment and I type in, remember AOL Instant Messenger?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Kids, it was this thing where before Facebook we would talk to each other
on internet.
Yeah, with text, but on the internet. And it was just your friends. It was kind of neat. But I put up in my status thing, thank you, business name, for cutting my hours. I will now be moving home with my parents. I can't afford my apartment anymore. So I get a phone call from my supervisor. You need to take that down right now. I said, well, I'm at home. This is my personal property. I'm not on your thing. It's my time. It's my account. I could do whatever I want. Well, apparently they could do whatever they want too because I got suspended coming back. And I had like this crazy fight with the union and this whole thing. And it just ended with me leaving. I mean,
I see your suspension and raise you getting fired. Now, it wasn't social media. This was before the MySpace.
I was going to say, like, that happened on AIM. That company was ahead of the curve. There are companies now that are still catching up on checking their employees' activities on social media.
We're talking, this was before the MySpaces, before the Facebooks. This was a GeoCities website. Yeah. We called it iChow, Intercontinental House of Waffles. And we worked at a...
Oh, yeah, I remember this story.
And we worked at a Bennigan's. And we did not like it. In fact, the management that was there at the time was not very friendly. Now, this is the local management. I'm not talking, hey, Bennigan's, you know, Monte Crisco. Hell yeah.
They're closed now. They don't exist.
Yeah,
anymore.
I was going to say, they don't exist anymore.
Oh, man.
It's all your fault. You can claim
all
responsibility
right,
for this.
Screw you, Bennigan's. Here's what happened. We started writing a thing called the Sláinte Diaries. You know how they always go, Sláinte, when they give you a drink? Well, we started writing things. We started making haikus about people. Some of those people I don't think realized it was about them because they still talk to me. But we started writing them so much. And then something weird happened. It started to get a lot of hits. Like, we had a voting thing. Who's the worst person in the universe? And, like, we had, like, these nicknames that really described these people. And the one time it had like 200 votes, I'm like, oh, this is growing. But I'm a teenager, whatever. Keep it going. And then the one day we walked in and a lot of people were crying. Me and my three friends looked at each other. We're like, would someone die? Then they go, hey, clean up your area, like, early. Like, this was after I had one table. I'm like, oh, I'm getting fired. And I walk back there. They count my money, which one table. And I go, am I getting fired? And then he goes, you'll find out. And I'm like, I'm getting fired. So they put me out into the back. It's outside, like, you know, like, there's just a garbage can there. So they're going to kill me or fire me. And then I see my friend Paul, and I see my friend Ed, and I'm like, they saw it. The idiots printed out what we wrote about these people and let them read it. So as we're walking out, I felt like the fallen dictator. I'm walking out, the country's crying, and then they fired my friend Beth just because she knew us. She went and cashed in. She goes, hey, I'm probably going to be getting out. They're just like, leave.
So this is like when they dragged Gaddafi through the streets. Basically the same thing.
Yeah. They saw that the reign was over, but they... Funny thing is, a month later, all those managers got fired because I think the upper management in Bennigan's read it, saw that they weren't doing a good job, and started spying on them. So it was good.
So the people in your work, they were crying because of what you wrote?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'll tell you those.
The whole company ended up going down, and I'm going to blame that on you now.
Thank you.
I liked their food. Anyway, this article from Rolling Stone. This is a couple stories of social media ending people's careers or making
their
lives.
So these are facts.
Yes, these are real. This is a real news story. There were bankers... Six HSBC bankers in Birmingham, England were fired over reenacting, that is, recording and posting on Instagram, a mock ISIS beheading.
Oh! You see, writing a blog is different than that.
Yeah. One of the bank employees, the one who nabbed the coveted leading role of beheading victim...
Oh, that's good.
...rocked an orange jumpsuit as he kneeled in front of his five colleagues, who did a lovely job as a supporting ensemble in black tracksuits and balaclavas.
I mean... It's funny because it's that ridiculous. Like, who in that group said,
great idea.
You know what's not going to get us fired? A fake ISIS video.
Yeah, a fake terrorism video. Absolutely.
Sounds good.
That seems like the kind of thing Homeland Security should be investigating, too, don't you think?
They should have at least been questioned, probably jailed for stupidity.
Yeah, if we're going to waste money on that stupid organization, you might as well track stuff like this down. Paula Deen. This one, I didn't even hear about this one.
Now, she hasn't done anything bad, right?
Well, I mean, she posted a picture on Twitter of her son. They were dressing up like Lucy and her husband from I Love Lucy.
Oh, God.
And Ricky, right?
Yeah.
And her husband was dressed like Ricky, including skin darkening makeup.
Yeah, I knew that's where that was going.
Yeah, this is special to me because I've had multiple times where I've thought about blackface. And I
thought about doing it?
About doing it.
Well,
yeah.
This isn't blackface. This is Mexican face.
Yes. Just a different shape.
Mexiface.
I don't know, because I didn't think of it anything weird. It was just like should I do, you know, like blackface because I want to protest for like people, or I want to, you know, unity or something. But what you have to do is ask someone else because it's a bad idea. And they will tell you that as soon as you ask.
It's a Halloween costume. I'm sorry. Like,
no, it is.
Yeah, how's anybody supposed to know you're a black guy if you don't paint yourself black?
You're not allowed to be Martin Luther King. It's just there's certain things that you just... And I had to learn this, too. That's something new to me. Like, people get upset when, I guess, shoe polish...
Because that was done back in the 20s.
Listen, yeah.
Really bad.
I really love Luke Cage. Luke Cage is an awesome comic book character. You telling me I can't go as him for Halloween?
No.
I can't dress up with, like, the thing and the
if he's
the van
white?
Races and say Sweet Christmas, I can't do that?
No.
Well, you know, my comeback to that is there's that movie White Girls, right? You ever seen that movie White Girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
The Wayans Brothers.
Yeah. Well, so if they didn't mean anything by it, either do I. I'm not racist.
Okay, but here's the thing. Yes, you are right. There is a double standard with that. But are you going to question it in downtown Wilkes-Barre?
This is our hometown. Yeah. The downtown is a very bad place.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot of angry people in the downtown. Let's see. A prison official was fired for joking about prison rape. Michael Allred, a Maryland state statistics officer and police liaison, had only been on the job for a few weeks when he updated his Facebook status thusly, visiting the prisons. Haven't been groped this much since the flight on the honeymoon, and this is just the guards. Because he's so diligent and conscientious, he tagged his boss as well as the exact prison he was visiting.
Oh my god.
The tag boss, who went on to relieve him of his no doubt important duties. I immediately called Mike and told him to immediately remove the post from his Facebook page, and I never want to see a page like that again.
Well, and then he tell him
then
to
he
take
was
it.
Let go from his
yeah,
job.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you can't. That had to be pre-firing.
How about this one? Making explicitly racist statements is always wrong, and it's extra dumb in an era where right-wing people have worked so hard on establishing coded language to help racists cloak their bigotry and euphemism. See, now I'm detecting a bias in this article. Witness the case of Jessica Haar, who is white and worked as a bartender at the Chicago nightclub. Proof in her spare time from spewing old-school racist pseudoscience on Facebook. Throwing caution, good sense, and punctuation to the wind, Haar wrote, "Wow, so insane how one race of people can be so blinking incompetent and disgusting. They make everything dirty, ignorant, and can't act like normal human beings." Oh. She then went on to call them a certain type of animal that historically
has been
a lion. Is it a lion?
No, that would be regal and majestic. Something else.
Yeah, no, this one is not very pleasant.
Does it sit in the front of a house?
No.
You see, on the porch, specifically?
I was trying
is that
to avoid
you're...
that as well.
Yeah, no, that's what she said. That was
okay,
based,
that's
what
I
she
was
said.
Asking.
I'm not saying it, though, because nobody's going to blame me for saying any of
that. I'll say it. We're bringing it back, all right? You ready? No.
Clerks, too.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, that is a terribly racist person. That person deserves to get beat up.
Well, there's this person, too, a hospital employee, who suggested police should commit genocide in Ferguson. During the protests, the police need to just start mowing them down with machine guns. Purge them was exactly what she said.
You know,
the hospital agreed to firing the aspiring war criminal shortly after that post was made.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about some of these things, though, because...
Well, don't say you agree with that.
No, well, if you are... if you're representing the company, like on their Facebook or something like that, maybe. But on your personal account, if you're not linked to the company, like...
Doesn't matter.
I just can't... I can't see it.
Remember, that is your personal Facebook. That is their personal business.
So as a worker, you're always representing your company? Like, is that where we're at now?
Well, you got to be smart about it. You can't just say it, because guess what? You're on Facebook, and say you're face-to-face with a customer, and they'll be like... Oh, you're the person that just said you're going to mow down Ferguson.
Right. Well, I mean, do they see you on there?
But you say it in public, even though it's not on Facebook. Certain things you say, and that's okay, but it's not okay when it's posted on Facebook or any other social media site.
Because you could deny that. You can't deny what's
on
the internet.
Oh, so now we're just into lying.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
We just talked about that.
Listen, at the end of the day, like, if the company finds out that one of their employees has said something that they don't want to be, like they just
associated.
Yeah, they don't want to be associated with that. That's their right. That's what it comes down to. I mean, what did that idiot who owned the basketball team, right?
Oh,
what was his name?
Yeah.
You know, he said that crap in the privacy of his own home. It came out, though, and people demanded his removal. And the NBA said, yeah, we agree. He's out. So, I mean, it happens, man.
It's not just social media. Right there were words.
Right.
They were spoken. I mean.
But eventually that's going to bite them in the butt, because everybody does it, including the companies.
Listen, don't be a D-bag and you don't have to worry about this happening to you. That's basically the end of the story.
I think it depends where you're at, though, because like officials, there was just a mayor that got fired. Did you guys see this?
No.
Because she talked about Michelle Obama.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Yeah, she said something really really racist against her, and then, you know, they took care of her, she's out of there. And I agree with that, like a public official, somebody that, like, you have to look up to.
No!
But if I'm working at, like, I don't know, Burger King, and I put on things like that, and they're like, well, this isn't Burger King way.
Like, oh. No, but think about this. You say something racist, and what these people are saying are terrible. You say something like that, and that gets out that you're working for them, they're going to get killed. They're going to be like, oh, they hire racist people. You know how that spreads on Facebook.
At the end of the day, it comes down to the companies be able to say, okay, do we want to keep this person hired and potentially suffer the windfall of people being upset with us for keeping this person hired, or do we just get rid of them and keep on moving with our business? That's basically what it comes down to.
And I'm not saying you know, racist things is good. I'm just saying, is that, you know, protected? Is it a free speech kind of thing? Is it?
Well, sure, you could say it, but there are also consequences for everything that you say and do.
Right.
And guess what? The business has a free speech right to not want to be associated with your trash talk, so they can get rid of you if they want to.
Yeah.
They can say it doesn't align with their corporate values or whatever.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
Free speech. Yeah,
you can say whatever you want, but guess what? You suffer the consequences for saying whatever you want.
Yeah, say that stuff in a bigger city, and you will then have the right to get punched in the face.
Oh, you die.
There you go. All right, let's move on here, because we're kind of getting off topic. Cameron Jankowski worked at the Fort Wayne, Indiana Taco Bell, posted a picture, actually he tweeted a picture, of himself urinating on an order of Nachos Bel Grande.
I still would eat it.
He was, of course you would. He was fine. Then there was a radio DJ, this was not me.
Not me?
Who tweeted about dirty Mexicans.
Are you
sure it wasn't you?
Anthony?
What?
Anthony from Opie and Anthony.
Oh my God, well, yeah, he said something a lot worse.
Yeah. Former Major League pitcher turned radio personality Mike Baksik had a Twitter meltdown after his beloved Dallas Mavericks were defeated by the San Antonio Spurs. He went on to say, obviously, I made a terrible mistake. It was very bad and stupid on my part, but he was mostly kind of full of it. When you tweet like I did, you can't see the sarcasm. It's not a good joke. You can't tell if it was pure hate or sarcasm. We're with him on the not a good joke part, says Rolling Stone. Yeah, he was fired for his tweet about congrats to all. What his tweet actually said was congrats to all the dirty Mexicans in San Antonio. Mickey, it wasn't me. That was a guy named Mike Baksik.
Okay.
Not that it's okay to say it in anywhere. Saying it in San Antonio, Texas. You're outnumbered, buddy. You're gonna get hurt.
There's other stuff here. A daycare worker was fired for mocking children on social media that she took care of.
Oh.
A GOP staffer who shamed Sasha and Malia Obama, slut-shamed them, whatever that means. A Russian paramedic was fired for taking selfies with dying patients.
I saw that. No, I did see that, and it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Oh,
do you know what? For everybody else, we will have this full list up at afreakaccident.com.
Yeah, sure. The waiters who complained about cheap Jews. The teacher who Facebook creeped on his students.
That happens a lot more than you would like to imagine.
Yeah, than anybody wants to admit, sure. The cop who documented her own police brutality.
Was she proud of it? Like writing a novel? My police brutality. What's the Harry Potter author?
J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling's the brutal cop.
Yeah, check out this list of stuff on afreakaccident.com. These are pretty terrible.
Oh, yeah. I
thought it was going to be a lot of this stuff was like incredibly racist and insensitive. I thought it was going to be like, you know, oh, hey, I was on workman's comp and I posted a picture of myself at like the ball game.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting let go because I was lying about being injured. I thought it was going to be something like that. I didn't think it would be like, hey, here's a list of the worst people in the world and why they were let go from their job.
I scanned my butt and put it up on Facebook. Fired.
Yeah. Yeah. I could use some of that at this point.
Butts?
Your butt, specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Up next, 6 healthy things that are killing you on a freak accident.
Love us, hate us. You can still like us on Facebook.
Gee whiz. That sounds like so much fun.
Facebook.com/afreakaccidentpodcast.
Don't forget to exercise. It will improve your quality of life. You need both of these to survive. You're the one.
British people rapping is just great.
That is Mr. M and Sir M with the Healthy Living Song.
Wonder if they live next to the N's.
Makes me want to live healthily. I don't know about you.
Made me feel fat.
Well, Kyle, you can be fat and happy because I'm assuming you're not doing any of these healthy things, just looking at you. Yeah. So it's so.
Whoa!
I'm going to assume you're not doing these things, and therefore you're probably in the clear because it turns out these healthy things actually aren't that healthy for you.
I'm doing it right, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You stay fat and happy, my good man.
All I heard was stay sexy and good.
This is from crack.com. Number 5, juice cleanses. Not good for you.
Duh.
Yeah, you're depleting yourself of nutrients.
Basically.
you're killing yourself.
You'd be surprised the number of people, I think, who don't realize this, but this is a hot trend. Like, Beyonce does this, and, like, everybody was on, like, the Beyonce cleanse and everything else because, like, she's like, oh, yeah, I drink, like, iced tea and salt. Like, that's it. That's I drink that mixture, and it helped me lose 50 pounds.
Yeah, you're going to crap a lot. It's going to deplete you, and then you're going to faint.
I love seeing people on those diet drinks because when they do take that, they have to go.
Oh, you know what I mean? That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, here's what the article says. First of all, detoxing, as in, like, detoxing from, like, you know, fat and unhealthy crap, is a myth. Like, your body doesn't accumulate unhealthy stuff inside of it that just stays there.
Unless you're broken.
Right, yeah. Detoxing is a myth. Unless you're kicking a drug addiction, you never need to detox your body. Your body could detox itself using those fancy kidneys and liver your doctor always raves about.
Oh.
And second of all, juice cleanses don't help you lose weight, at least not in a healthy long-term way. Most cleanses have you consume about 1,000 to 1,200 calories a day, way less than the 2,000 to 3,000 calories an average adult should be consuming. So yeah, you'll lose weight on a cleanse, but you'll also be starving, something that you can do just as well by not eating. And when you go off the cleanse and start eating normally again, you'll quickly regain the weight.
I always wanted to see someone do that 3-day cleanse where you lose like 20 pounds because you starve yourself that bad. But I want them to do it, and then I want them to put on a small shirt and immediately eat a burger and just see how fast it rips.
Yeah. But also, the energetic rush people feel on a juice cleanse is likely due to a sugar high, since cleansing juices usually have 75 to 190 grams of sugar per serving.
It's fruit.
Yeah. Fruit is high in glycemic content.
Yeah.
It's also probably because they're hallucinating because they don't have any food.
Yeah.
I'm on a rush. No, you're high.
No, you're dying. That's you know, the what is it? Your brain, like, as it's going through heat death, it's like just sending off euphoric signals.
The sun is so bright. No, you're seeing the white light. Get some food.
Number four, most natural cleaners either aren't natural or aren't cleaners.
Damn it.
Wait, what?
Natural cleaners. You know, the stuff like all natural, like Lysol or whatever, all natural floor cleaner.
Wait, wasn't this about eating habits or just habits general?
No, healthy habits in general.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
It's five natural trends that could naturally kill you.
If you're eating these cleaners, you might have a problem too.
Yeah. Went to food for
Mickey, are you drinking bleach again?
do we have to have the talk?
You know we do. We got your Mr. Yuck stickers. Remember those? We put them on everything.
No. Don't touch it.
Yeah. So, natural cleaners are a $600 million industry. They're sold in most major grocery and drug stores. The only problem is most of them are hoaxes. There's no guarantee that these cleaners are actually natural. First of all, it's true that the Federal Trade Commission has set standards for the use of the words natural and green on product packaging. But even the EPA says that these policies are poorly regulated and rarely enforced. Since companies are in the business of making money rather than in the business of telling you the truth, there's a very good chance that your natural Himalayan yogurt soap is actually just Clorox with a picture of a yak on it. Now, obviously, there's some sarcasm and snark in a Cracked article, but yeah, the other thing is, too, if you don't find if you do find a product that's truly natural, it likely doesn't do much in the way of cleaning. It may remove dirt and dust, but so does spit and friction. A lot of times when you're cleaning a surface, especially one covered in germs, what you want is a cleaner that sanitizes and disinfects, meaning it kills 99.99% of germs where the cleaner is applied. Those natural cleaners don't do that.
Do you have the government's copyright email?
I do not.
I just want you to just email them really quick with this, because this is our idea out in the public. We're going to make an all-natural cleaner. It's going to be called Spit and Friction.
There you go. And it's just a bottle of our saliva.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a natural cleaner. I don't remember what it is that does kill germs.
Oh.
And it's in the...
It's cleaning. Called acid.
Yeah, right. No, but it's in the cleaning list of like what you're allowed to use in restaurants. So it does exist. It's just not in many of the actual natural cleaners.
Sulfuric acid.
Yeah. A match. It's clean.
Fire. Burn it in the purify it in the flame. Number three, raw juice and dairy products can make you very sick.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's why I never go to that organic aisle in like Wegmans or something. Yeah. I see raw juice.
Let's just put it this way. There's a reason Louis Pasteur, the inventor of pasteurization and vaccination, isn't spat upon in history books. We didn't start pasteurizing everything because it's fun to torture juice and milk. We did it because it kills off bacteria that spoils food and can make you sick. Raw juice and dairy fly in the face of one of the biggest preventative care advancements of all time.
Oh.
Pasteurized milk. Homogenized milk. That's what you want to be drinking.
Yeah, that's all I drink.
So how do people get that? Like, you get it right from the teat? You just go to the cow and just start drinking? Or what's the deal?
Farmers do that. They'll just go right up there, milk it out, drink it down. It doesn't taste the same, though. I've tried, like, right from the cow milk.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I also found out it was a bull later, so.
Oh. That wasn't milk, my friend.
No.
Well, you took it there.
Yep.
There's a natural remedy for something, I'm sure. Home births are still more dangerous than hospital births.
What?
According to the CDC, home births, having a baby.
No, I know that. I just couldn't follow really what was going on here.
Home births increased 29% from 2004 to 2009. But as calming and relaxing as giving birth next to your cat might be, that doesn't mean it's safer. A lot of our best data on this comes from Oregon, where birth certificates are required to list the location of the birth. Using that extra bit of data, researchers found that in 2012, the death rate for babies born at home was 7 times higher than that in hospitals.
Well, it's simple. Sterilization.
Yeah.
Or your rug that has chips on it.
Not to mention that, but if there's always the potential for complications.
Yeah.
If there's a complication, guess what? The midwife isn't going to be able to do anything. The doctor at the hospital might be able to, and now you've got to, like, rush to the hospital where you could have just, like, gone there when things first started a churning, and you would have been there ahead of that potential disastrous situation.
And to anybody listening that may be thinking, well, I still want to try it at home. It's not as clean as it's on TV.
Yeah.
It's going to get messy. And it's going to stain stuff.
The article says, while home birth may seem more natural, keep in mind that for most of human history, so was dying during childbirth.
Yep.
What's the draw? Is it just because you're at home?
They feel like it's in a natural environment.
It's in a more calming environment.
Let them go out in the woods and try to have a baby then, or in a cave or something like that. You know what I mean? A natural environment.
They try to do it because they think, like, it's more natural, it's more calming. You know,
until the birth happens and they're screaming,
yeah.
I don't want any drugs, please.
Well, you go to the hospital, you get the epidural, and then you're calm as can be. I mean, just do what you want.
I want to get an epidural now.
I think most women get C-sections now.
Is that right?
Yeah, they just give up on the whole actually giving childbirth.
It's like Alien. So they just cut it out of them and they just come out.
They burst out of the chest.
That's how I came in.
That's what they say, yeah.
I was 10 pounds. They couldn't push me out. Yeah, I was big.
You guys heard of essential oils?
Yeah.
That's like a new craze, right? Could kill you.
Awesome.
Just leave it at that. That would be even better.
Essential oils are liquids extracted from plants that possess the original plant's odor or flavor, usually in a highly concentrated form. They are, therefore, concentrated chemicals.
So what you're saying is they're really good.
Yeah. Some can be applied safely to skin, like rose oil, can be used to clear up acne. Others, like thyme, oregano, and cinnamon bark, can cause irritation, even in concentrations as low as 3 to 5%. Citrus oils, like orange, lemon, and lime, can cause phototoxicity. That is severe burns or even skin cancer if exposed to sunlight.
I thought it meant, like, I could, like, take photos with my eyes.
Yeah.
Phototoxicity.
Those were all the pictures that Serge Tankian took during System of a Down's tour that time. Yeah. Phototoxicity. let's see. Lavender and tea tree oils can block androgens and have been linked to breast enlargement in prepubescent boys.
Yes.
Even in seemingly small quantities, wintergreen oil can act like a large dose of aspirin, potentially lethal, especially to kids. Clove oil is mostly safe on skin, but when ingested, it can all naturally slow blood clotting and cause all natural seizures and all natural liver damage in children.
But it's all natural, so it's fine.
Right, yeah. As long as things happen naturally, it's okay.
That's the key. All natural all the time and no vaccinations, you'll be fine.
You know what else is natural? Dying. And if you do some of this stuff, you probably will. So have fun with that.
Yay.
A freak accident. As entertaining as a car crash. That may seem morbid, but hey, people love car crashes. Why do you really think NASCAR is so popular? A face in the deep inside creation.
It was so cool to be there live.
SmackDown Live, the 900th episode, Lazy E and I were there in person because it took place in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Basically our base of operations here.
It was the loudest I've ever seen a crowd in this area. It was the most filled I've seen it there in a while.
Well, they knew because the last time SmackDown came, they had like the whole upper deck tarped off.
Well, it's also, it has a lot to do, well, 900th episode. Well, so
this time they're like, let's see, what could we do to maybe get sales up a little bit?
Well, they put it live, first of all.
Yeah.
People don't like the taped. Taped, they edit it all out. It doesn't feel as cool to, and then when you're there live.
And the freaking Undertaker was there!
Yes, and James Ellsworth.
Yeah.
That was bigger.
And King Booker.
King, I almost forgot about that. That was amazing.
And Edge, too.
Edge came back. We had Shane McMahon came out. He's not at every SmackDown, yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Daniel Bryan was there, too. I mean, he's pretty much on every.
Oh, yeah, he's
but time. It's even still, that's the first time he's been in Wilkes-Barre in how long?
Well.
I got to do a yes chant. I got to see Undertaker's entrance before I died. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
I'm done. That's it. They can check those things off the bucket list.
It's amazing when The Undertaker comes out, how it's almost immediate. You hear the gong, and then all of a sudden, the crowd just goes, ah!
Yeah. And then that arena was pumped for that event, the whole thing.
From the moment it started,
yeah.
When they were taping, the little secret, they tape the opening before it actually opens. The crowd reaction, so they say, everybody get nuts, just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case they don't get as nuts.
Not to mention we saw an incredible Intercontinental Championship match.
That was on par with any pay-per-view I've ever seen.
Unreal. Dolph Ziggler and The Miz put on an amazing show, and your boy The Miz walking away with it. How about that?
Our hero. The right. Savior to wrestling.
Yeah.
Has done it again. God bless him.
He saw a tear. Did you see that?
I did.
Yes, yeah.
He's going to lose it at Survivor Series.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what he does. He wins titles and then he loses.
He had it for 125 days or something like that, before that.
That is not normative, though, to
you're
his
not,
career.
You're not normative. Boom.
But this Sunday is the big event for WWE. And it actually, for the first time in a number of years, it is a big event. It feels big.
It's actually living up to the name Survivor Series.
Right, yeah. This is historically one of the big four. You've got Rumble, WrestleMania, you've got SummerSlam and Survivor Series. Historically, the last couple of years, Survivor Series has kind of been
at a TLC level.
Skippable, you know, to maybe put it a little bit harshly. I don't know. But this year, though, definitely going to be must-see TV. And so, of course, because of that, we had to bring in our man in the field, our wrestling correspondent.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case.
Of suffering succotash, son.
From WrestlingHeadlines.com and LordsOfPain.net, it is the Doc, Chad Matthews. Doc, welcome back to A Freak Accident, man. It has been a while.
It has been a while. I'm here a little sooner than I expected, given the fact that Survivor Series hasn't been that big a deal in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it came to the point where we wouldn't even call you for that because it's like, all right, well, Survivor Series doesn't even have the matchups where people have to survive in it. So why are they calling it this?
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
But now there's almost every match on the card is that elimination-style Survivor Series.
You can't miss it.
It's a throwback. It's been a very long time since we've had three Survivor Series matches on one card. I honestly cannot remember the last time. I think maybe it was in the 90s that we had three elimination matches on the same card. So I very much appreciate the throwback to days gone by. It's going to be fun. I'm actually very much looking forward to it. Only one year in the last several have I really anticipated highly the Survivor Series. So it's nice that we have the opportunity to get excited about wrestling in November and for the Survivor Series to live up to the nickname I once gave it, the November Classic.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe this is definitely one of the places where the brand split definitely helps because you've almost got that built-in SmackDown versus Raw. You can really push that you can really ride on that to create the situation where you have the elimination style matches. So, I mean, if anything good came out of the brand split, here you go.
Sure, and even if you're not buying into the rivalry that's soon in the brand split 2.0's existence, I think they've done a pretty good job of building up some conflicts between team members, obviously, but also some narratives like who's the best champion, Kevin Owens or AJ Styles, which of the former Shield members may come out on top, the lone one from SmackDown or one of the two from Raw, the Wyatt family tie-in, Shane McMahon's involvement. There's a lot of interesting little narratives that you could see, you know, interesting people beyond just simply Raw versus SmackDown. So I think they've done, all in all, a pretty good job hyping this show.
I think what really made it, maybe Doc, you'll agree with me on this, is that they made the Survivor Series for something. You have the Cruiserweight title. If one person loses it, it goes to the other brand. Not just the title, the whole division goes over to SmackDown if they win the title. And then the IC title could switch to Raw. So that's a neat little way to put a title match, but make it different.
Absolutely. I think that was one of the things they had to do. I think for a lot of fans right now, buying into the SmackDown versus Raw narrative, just this who's the best, which one's supreme, I don't think that would have worked quite as well. And these are mid-card matches that if they had gone into Survivor Series with it just being Sami Zayn versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title, or Brian Kendrick versus Kalisto for the Cruiserweight title, just by themselves without the brand-related stakes, then there's not really much there to get invested in, but you have those added stakes, and I think it works well for the whole show. Well, plus, and they have a lot of show to fill. It's going to be a four-hour show, so they need to fill it with some matches with stakes.
Plus, I like the fact that we've had like the crossover stuff going on more in recent weeks too. Like for instance, we were at SmackDown Live. The 900th episode was here in our hometown. We were actually there live last night, and it's just cool seeing like the Raw women come out to like ambush the SmackDown women. I mean,
and how she Charlotte pretended like she bought a ticket.
Yeah, right.
Those little things do make it worth the watch.
Absolutely.
100% agree. I hope you guys had a good time. It seemed like a pretty good show to be at live.
Yeah, no, it was a blast. I mean, it was awesome. And I mean, for me, that was the first time I ever saw Undertaker's entrance live. So it was like, man, well, I can die happy now.
There's nothing like that.
No. Yeah, absolutely not. So, I mean, we've also got the big match with the rematch of rematches.
Well, the make good of matches.
Yeah, right. The all time greatest make good of all time, and that is Goldberg going up against Brock Lesnar in what I'm assuming is the main event, probably.
I don't know at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, you got that match. I mean, do you think that at this point it will make up for, what was it, WrestleMania 20?
22.
Do you think it'll make up for 22? Do you think this is something actually worth looking forward to?
Well, based on how well they've hyped it. If you had rewound the clock 2 months and asked me whether or not I thought that the hype for this match would be able to live up to potentially impossible expectations, then I probably would not have said that there's any way that it would have worked out as well as it has. Personally, other than Paul Heyman's promo gone bad in Minneapolis a couple of weeks ago, I think that by and large, the hype for this match has been great. The problem is going to be that which has always been the problem from the moment this match was rumored, and that's, can they get it done between the ropes when the bell rings? And that is a major question mark for Sunday. Yes, it's a huge match. It is a big part of why the show feels Big Four worthy after a long departure from Survivor Series being a part of that equation. But, you know, at least the hype is there, so hopefully the crowd dynamic. It's Toronto, it's Bizarro World, you never know how they're going to react. But I think that there will be an invested crowd, and that'll be half the battle. If you recall, 13 years ago, one of the biggest problems that the match in New York had, WrestleMania 20, was the crowd immediately crapped all over it. So
yep.
I think the crowd dynamic will be there. Can it live up to the hype that they've built up for it? That's a who knows? I mean, Bill Goldberg hasn't wrestled since that night, and that was one of the worst matches of all time. Tried so hard to be epic. It was like they were trying to recreate the magic of like an Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan or Andre versus Hogan, and they failed categorically at trying to do so. It was awful. So it's Bill Goldberg who, you know, he slipped on a banana peel trying to punch Rusev a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
He almost clotheslined himself over the top rope on Monday, trying to throw a security guard out of the ring. I mean, he is the great unknown. Fortunately, he doesn't have to do a lot. Supposedly, this is going to be a match that has some MMA type of tie-ins, that they're not going to try to work a traditional pro wrestling match. But for all intents, my expectation is that Brock Lesnar is just going to take him to Suplex City. So all Goldberg really has to do
is fall.
At the bare minimum, is fall down a lot. Get back up, have enough energy left to hit the spear and a jackhammer, and then who knows from there. So there are a lot of unknowns about Sunday's match. Once the bell rings, your guess is as good as mine as to how this is actually going to play out.
I'm picturing like the booking agent going up to Goldberg being like, okay, you have two things to do with this match. One, bump. Two, don't get hurt while you bump. Repeat. Yeah. That's basically it. So in your mind then, I mean, what would you say should be the outcome of that match? Like, best case scenario, what would you like to see happen there?
Well, it makes all the sense in the world for Bill Goldberg to come back and win. On one hand, you know, why would he come back and show his kid what he became famous for only to lose? But he's going to lose, and he should lose.
Right.
Because Brock Lesnar is, like it or not, you know, he's a part-time guy that's going to be around longer. And it means something when somebody eventually does beat him, since no one really has in any sort of definitive fashion in, oh man, it's been since Triple H beat him. And
yeah,
that was almost nearing 4 years ago. Obviously, Undertaker got the tainted win at SummerSlam 2 years ago, but you've got to think that they're going to save Brock losing for somebody that's going to be around enough to benefit from it. I could be wrong. I thought the same thing about Undertaker at WrestleMania, and it turned out to be dead wrong on that. But conventional wisdom suggests that Brock gets his win back from 2004.
So we have that match. That's the traditional, what they're telling us is the main event. But what is going to be the one that you think is going to take the entire card?
I would have a hard time looking at that 5-on-5 with the men, the top five from each brand, and seeing anyway how that doesn't end up stealing the show. I think the women have a shot to steal the show. I think the tag team match might surprise some people, but I think it's going to come down really to the women's match and then the men's 5-on-5. And I actually kind of think the men's 5-on-5 might go on last. I think there's so many unknowns, and WWE is as well aware of the unknowns in the Lesnar-Goldberg match as we are. So I think they're going to put the 5-on-5 last, and I think that they will be glad that they did so. I think it'll deliver, and I'm expecting some sort of swerve. I don't know what that will be, but look down. You know, there's a lot of talent in that ring. Some of those guys have never had the opportunity to wrestle in one of WWE's signature gimmick matches. Kevin Owens comes to mind in that category, so I think it's going to be a good show, and I think that is going to be an outstanding match. I think it's got the possibility to be one of the best elimination matches we've ever seen.
Well, we're going to find out after we see it this Sunday. Again, Survivor Series will be on the WWE Network. And are they still doing pay-per-views at all?
Somewhere. Anymore? Like, I don't know, like Afghanistan.
Right. Yeah. So make sure you watch Survivor Series on Sunday. And then we will have the Doc back next week to do a full recap and let us know his thoughts on the after side of things. So, Doc, yes, Thank you for checking in with us, getting us a little hyped heading into Survivor Series this weekend. Before we let you go, though, let everybody know where they can follow you so they can track along with you this weekend.
Well, you can follow me at TheDocLOP on Twitter, and I will be posting a review of the main show, Survivor Series, on Sunday on LordsOfPain.net. Also, check out the third edition of my book, The WrestleMania Era, the book of sports entertainment, which ranks the top 90 wrestlers of the last 30-plus years, available pretty much on all available online outlets, so check that out as well.
All right, Doc, thanks for being here, man. We'll be talking to you next week.
Thank you for having me. Always appreciate it.
Follow A Freak Accident on Twitter at A Freak Accident. Ah, crap. I forgot to say Simon Says.
Ba-ba-ba-ba! Da-da-da-da-da!
There's apparently a motorboat in this room right now. So, how's everybody doing in football? I don't want to talk about it.
There's no football.
No?
Football doesn't exist.
Yay! We finally got past that point.
It's done.
Nope. Okay, good. Nope. Next segment.
This is the last one, so we're going to go to next week then.
Some things in life are a given.
He's ready to go, though.
Man, he's like a robot.
Yeah. I'll start. Vikings lost their fourth straight game in a row against the Redskins. Season's over. I've been saying it for the last 2 weeks. Season is over.
You did have one glimmer of happiness.
Ah, Blair Walsh getting getting the boot, as it were. We punted him wide left, right off the freaking team.
Yeah.
What an idiot. He sucked. He absolutely sucked.
He wasn't always that way, though.
No, he used to be good. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, his confidence got shaken. Then last year, he blew that last kick, 28 or 27 yards, whatever it was. He shanked it. And then all this year, he just couldn't get his confidence back.
It happens
back.
To kickers all the time.
Dude sucks.
They have great years, and then they just fall.
I mean, I feel bad for him because it's like no team is going to want him.
Oh, no, some team will take him.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah. Every kicker that has sucked has come back to somebody else.
I was going to say, like, what's he going to do now?
Oh, what if he goes to, like, the Packers and starts killing it again? Like, starts making 60-yarders?
I'd kill myself. I mean, I'm borderline ready to already with this season. But season's over, and I'm just going to make peace with it. So, Bengals.
You've got company.
Missed by a point.
Listen, this is the worst part. They screwed up themselves. I could have told you what play they were going to run.
I'm confused. Did you have his kicker?
No, but he's... Uncle Mike Nugent didn't have his cat scratch fever that night. He hasn't been having that much at all. Like, every time he kicks now, I get scared. I'm like, oh, God. We dropped balls, especially one in the end zone that would have won us the game, and we had the most predictable play calling ever. When I'm able to say, yep, Bengals going to run it right here, chances are that defense is going to say the same thing.
Yeah, those guys are paid to know those things.
Yeah, they actually study the film. I don't.
Yeah.
So, and what makes it the worst, Monday Night Football. So they kept it close enough where I actually had to stay up until like midnight finishing the game. That was fun.
Rigged.
Yeah.
Basically. Cowboys beat the Steelers 35-30.
Now this, I wasn't following it, but I went on Facebook and I caught it right at, it was 30-29. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen this on Facebook. Maybe you have. There's a ticker that goes while the game's running.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea that it keeps going when you share it. So I put the post up, and I'm like, must be a nail-biter of a game. You know, it was 30-29, and, you know, go Steelers and this and that. And here, the score keeps going, and then they lose.
Yeah.
So I just look like a big D-bag.
Yeah, that's the worst part, because your comment stays, but it keeps updating. So yeah. You're like, they're doing great.
Dude, they...
45-2.
Yeah. And I had no clue.
They had that game, and with like a minute left, Dallas drove downfield, and Dak Prescott helped them.
No, that was... Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. The
get touched.
Well, Dak Prescott helped them get down the field. And then, yeah, he wasn't even touched as he bounced to the outside and ran into the end zone.
He went right through the middle. The guy just went thump.
Well, he went between the outside tackle and the next inside guy.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wait, how did he go again?
Thump.
Okay, thank you.
He was gone.
I'll tell you what, though. You know who earned my respect, despite the fact that everybody makes fun of him? Tony Romo.
Yeah, he did the right thing.
You see, football is a meritocracy. You aren't handed anything. You earn everything, every single day, over and over again. You have to prove it. That's the way that the NFL, that's the way that football works. A great example of this is Dak Prescott and what he's done. He's earned the right to be our quarterback. As hard as that is for me to say, he's earned that right. He's guided our team to an 8-1 record, and that's hard to do. But what is clear is that I was that kid once, stepping in, having to prove yourself. It really is an incredible time in your life. And if I remember one thing from back then, it's the people that helped me along. And if I can be that to Dak, you know, I've tried to be, and I will be going forward.
Talk about a class act.
He gets it.
Yeah.
He understands it. And this is kind of what happened to Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
People forget the Patriots had him as quarterback, and he wasn't doing that bad. He was really good. And then he got hurt, and some, like, no-name guy, Tom Brady, came in and filled in for him. And that was the end of his career. You got to go with the hot hand. He'll forever have a job in Dallas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I really appreciate that. Like, just his attitude about the whole thing. You know, for Romo, I have mocked you relentlessly over the years, but you earned my respect with that move.
That, and he was He was a good quarterback, just with bad teams around him a lot.
Yeah. Raiders had a bye week.
We took a nap.
Yep. Did you take your nap?
No, unfortunately.
Ah, so my prognostication came true then.
You win.
Well, kind of, sort of. It was more like an anti thing to her prognostication.
The anti prognostication.
Shut up. I still won. What are we doing this week?
Jeez.
Steelers at Browns, Sunday, 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Bills at Bengals, Sunday, 1 p.m.
Yeah, I totally forgot.
We got a Monday game.
Yeah, your Monday Night Football.
In Mexico.
Yeah. Texans.
Sorry.
You know, we went over all the things about racism being bad earlier in the show.
That is what they do in their songs.
Vikings are going to lose to the Cardinals Sunday at 1 p.m.
Mark it down.
Yeah, mark it down. If that's what's going to happen. You ready to prognosticate?
Yeah.
It's time for Freak Accident Implausible Prognostication. It's time for Freak Accident Implausible Prognostication.
So, you know how we just got done saying how Tony Romo did the right thing? He gave it to the hot hand, gave it to Dak Prescott. Well, that's going to be unfortunate because he's going to throw five picks against Baltimore, and Tony Romo will go in by the fourth quarter.
Oh, wow.
Prognostication! Steelers versus the Browns. I mean, they were up by a point, and they lost that in, what, like 45 seconds. So I'm going to say it is going to be the Browns are just going to knock them out. It's going to be like 45-3.
Prognostication!
The Browns are going to get their first win that way?
Yeah. Okay. Why not? That is definitely implausible.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that the Bengals, sorry, buddy,
thanks,
are going to lose to Buffalo again by one measly point.
Prognostication!
I will stab myself in the nipple.
Mickey.
So the Raiders are going to be in Mexico. They're going to smuggle El Chapo out right before Trump builds the wall.
Yeah!
That was a freak accident, implausible prognostication.
And you can find us at freakaccident.com. You can go to our homepage and click connect and find us on all of our social media pages. You can also find us on iTunes or Google Play Music.
Yeah, that's the thing I didn't mention at the beginning of the show. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and subscribe on Google Play Music. Subscribe anywhere podcasts are downloaded, and we'll get automatically delivered to you each and every week. And if you leave us a good review, especially on iTunes, leave us that good review, screen grab it, email it to us, we'll send you a free sticker. Just include your mailing address. I won't send you junk mail either, I promise.
But I will stay outside your house. I will find you.
Kyle will do that. I will not, though. So you just have to worry about him.
I'll just sniff your email later.
that's fine. Yeah. Did you mention everything?
I don't know. Email us at freaks@freakaccident.com.
Bam! There's the email address. So thank you for tuning in this week. Next week, we'll have the Doc Chad Matthews again back to recap Survivor Series. And we will also be talking about the greatest pop culture conspiracy theories.
Woohoo!
Right up Mickey's alley. So be back next week for that. Thank you for listening to this one. We'll talk to you again soon. For A Freak Accident, my name is Crisco.
I'm Lazy.
Kyle Mack.
I'm Mickey. And we're reminding you,
some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
Excelsior!
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over.
No! Son of a bitch!
But if you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.